everybody, welcome or welcome back to Care Life Podcast with me, Fizz McKenzie. If you're new here, hi, hit that follow button for us and please check out our any other episodes from weeks, months, years ago. You can leave a comment, rating, review, telling us what episode you liked or what theme or what topic you liked that was showcased here on our podcast, and we'll see if we can go back to those episodes soon than later. But today we are diving back to part two of our initial discussion that we had here with Michael, The Lens of Life. That's the series, that's the name of the series, we're calling it Life Lenses, where we discuss the whole balance between system versus soul as human beings, who we are and why our existence matters, basically. So, Michael, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Phyllis. Good to see you. Good to hear you.
I'm sure the audience is happy to hear from you as well, because our topic, like I mentioned from the previous episode, this is a topic we haven't done here on the podcast, and it's great to have somebody to talk to about this particular topic, because it's something that's not talked about enough, and also it's not something that people are always ready to talk about. So it's lovely having somebody here to share their views, share their opinions, and also share their ideas.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. What's your question? What's your question? Let's dive in.
Yeah, so today, ladies and gentlemen, what we're doing, just in case you missed the first episode, we were in the topic of system relevance versus human-centric life. And today we are trying to sum up everything we said in the first episode that is live right now. If you haven't seen it already, you have to check it out. And our questions today will basically sum up that and also give us a few more insights on whatever we never mentioned. So our first question today, Michael, how do societal structures influence our daily decisions and values, shaping whether we lead a system-relevant life or a human-centric life?
Okay, let's go just really quick back in history when we were tribes, when we actually created tribes, which were the first systems. Mm-hmm. When all humans did find themselves, you know, in the savannah or wherever they find themselves and just want to hang out, and they like each other and they just hang out. So they don't have to have a relationship, a sexual relationship. They can just like each other. Mm-hmm. And then they have a couple of people. So it's a family, and then comes more and two families, because the more families work together, they can defend, and then the system can actually provide safety and mm-hmm. security. So you don't have to. So when there's two families, just alone that, when there's two families, you know, one mother can care for the both babies of both families. And that's a little mini system in the system, you know, and the mm-hmm. other mother can help find food. So it's just basically a system is to share responsibilities of existence. And then when we became a tribe, what happens was we became a tribe to. There was somebody that was really good, and the system, first it was just, we have to, okay, can we do my job and your job at the same time? Mm-hmm. When the tribe came, it was, okay, so we have horses, we have animals, we are cooking, we all this, and we started, who is the best cook? Oh, Phyllis is the best cook. Okay, mm-hmm. Phyllis, you are now our cook, and you loved it too, because it doesn't go when you are really good in something and you don't love it. You love what you're doing. That's why it's good. And that's why it tastes good, you know, and our soul responds to it, right? Mm-hmm. So Phyllis is the greatest cook. And so she is going to create a kitchen for our 50 people tribe. And that was the first system. And because she does that so well, I'm going to do her laundry. Another person does her whatever. And we share our duties. And by that, we actually, because it's less work, because if you cook for one or for two or for 10, and it's not much different, you mm-hmm. know, and you created something. And so we have more time. The humans have more time. Each human has more time. and also have freedom when you have a baby, right? You have a baby of an animal, and now you know your husband is hunting, but your husband hurt his leg, and then you need to go, and you can't go out there. So if somebody tends to your animal, tends to your baby, then you can go out there plucking berries or finding food or doing a job, any job that you want to do. And that's actually the essence, and we have to remind that. That's why I'm going back historically, because this is the human, the essence, you know? Mm-hmm. We are collaborative, and I think we said that we are a collaborative creator species. So we are not just creating anthills, and we're not just being like the elephant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We create our own habitat. We create cities. We create, you know, New York, Singapore, Paris. We create all different. They're all different. They're not always anthills. You know, if we were supposed to do anthills as humans, then every city would look on the whole planet would look at the same. You know, mm-hmm. perhaps a little bit different, but with the same. So we created that. And because, and so we can create our habitat. So we don't have to sleep on the floor outside or in a cave. We can build a house. And when it's cold, we can turn the, close the door, and then we can even make a fire inside or whatever. We can heat the thing. And this is, so this is the drive. And this is by DNA. We always long for the tribe, because we know by DNA for generations, it's safe. It's mm-hmm. safe, it's safe, it's safe. Only a couple of people have taken advantage of that. And they shifted the, from one side of the system must serve every human, not just the beautiful woman or the beautiful guys. It needs to serve everyone. And it is a thing of a safety. And when it is a protection and a safety. And also when we are, you know, when we are lost, we can go in and ask the wise one to tell us what is, go to a doctor, the doctor helps us. So we have these, all these stations to take care of us, and we can actually grow as humans. We can become smarter, become wiser, we become more aware, and where the shift now comes, where people are in the consciousness, mm-hmm. we become now, which the internet actually did. The internet gave it the last push. So when all of a sudden you had all the niches. In the old days, you know, when I was born like 50, 60 years ago, it was just like, you know, man, woman, race, you know, that's perhaps a sexuality issue, but that's basically what it was. But then the internet comes, and all of a sudden we are in all these kind of niches. I'm in a niche. I am an owner of this car, and I love to collect stamps. Now, all the owners of this car that collect stamps can meet on the internet and talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a woman that wears just red. I'm a man that just loves monkeys, play with monkeys, and then play with special monkeys or play with special salamanders, or, you know, tries to have 20 dogs. And all these people are meeting, and then what kind of dog and whatever to exchange, which is good. There's no wrong with it. But what we didn't see then is that actually we're going the next step. We're realizing everyone is a one of one. Mm-hmm. Every human is a one of one. And we realize, and this is the transition that we make right now all over the world. We realize nature didn't make us, oh, there's a man, there's a woman, there's a different race, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
No, nature made it different. Nature said, we want you synergistically to dance together above gender, rule, race, gender, race, or whatever, other differentiation. It's not how you look, not the form, but the function. Because mm-hmm. if I wouldn't know, I would think you could be alone, could be a woman that works for anywhere. You could be from Sweden. I wouldn't know. If I don't see you, I wouldn't know who you are. And just talking to you, that's why, you know, when you hear musicians, you and all of a sudden, like, I give you an example. You hear salsa music. And I heard salsa music, and I thought, wow, that's really good. Let me check out who that is. It was a Japanese group. And that's why art is such a great tool that we all own. It's a human-centric tool. And for the people don't understand, we talk in the human-centric context right now, not in a system-relevant context. System-relevant is when we talk about how to build a computer, how to build a motor, how to construct a house. Human-centric is how we function as humans. Because on the, and we have to give that a priority because we have created every single system in the world. Every man-made system is created by humans. So we can update them. And this is where we come now. Everybody gets stuck because they build, say, oh, the system dead. Let's have a war. Let's destroy everything and rebuild it. Yeah, but not when 650,000 people die. You know, if you destroy something and want to rebuild it is one thing, but if you destroy it because of a war, just to have the justification that you can destroy it, that doesn't work. And so now we discovered that, oh, we are all one of one. And because we know, especially you and I know, nature doesn't make a mistake, you know? So it doesn't matter how much as a scientist you are or how much you know and how many titles you have. Please explain me that nature makes a mistake. Nature grows, develops, and gets smarter and whatever. Being sustainable, it's not, nature is never static. It changes four times a year, at least. I mean, probably more times a year, but we are conscious only four times a year. We are part of nature. Because systems didn't create nature. It didn't create humans. Nature, we are part of nature. And that's our wisdom of human centricity is we look, okay, we have a problem in systems, right? So human centricity looks at that and says, how does nature do it? Instead of saying, oh, I have an idea. Let's just put this on this and that works. No. The human centricity way of life is, you look at what nature does, and then you try to create a system that is adapted to nature, where we feel comfortable, where it's not blue light and fluorescent light that gets everybody crazy. We don't have dirty air or whatever. We are responsible for our air, for our clean air, clean food. Clean food meaning not system in changed food, not GMO, not chemicals, it just good regular natural food that the body can actually recognize and absorb, and water, food, and air, and all clean. And if that becomes a responsibility versus systemically saying climate change, which doesn't do anything, climate change, what are you going to do? We had an ice age. Everybody will agree we have an ice age, right? And that was before humanity, right? So, so if the Earth is also a living being like we are, and it has circles, you don't feel every day good. I don't feel every day good. So the Earth is changing constantly, and her circles are probably 100 years or more. So when the Earth is going to change, but it's not going to change to such an extreme where we all light up. So if we're all responsible for clean food, clean air, clean water, we will actually, our immune system will be strong enough that when the Earth gets a little colder or hotter, we can actually sustain it and can survive because we adapt with the Earth, to the Earth. And then we can, if we are in touch with the nature and Earth and be natural, then we can always look about climate change if we can even help that a bit. But by having clean water, clean food, clean air, we already affecting positively the climate change because we're not just polluting the air, polluting the water. And so we help the Earth. When the Earth is not stressed, it doesn't need to change so much. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And from our initial discussion, Michael, we already established that there is need for that delicate balance between system relevance and human-centric life, because without it, we find ourselves at odds. So in what ways can we find a balance between meeting the demands of systems around us and nurturing our human connections and individual well-being?
Updating system is literally the one word that I say. It's updating systems, because the system, when you look at the educational system, 1845, it's pretty much not changed since 1845. Mm-hmm. And I think we think differently than in 1845. We think differently about us today, you know. I mean, I'm always thinking, if my dad, you know, my dad passed away when he was 52, it's a long time ago. And I was thinking, my dad was a tech freak, you know, but there was no computers yet. They just started when he passed. Mm-hmm. He would be so lost today, because it's completely, he would be completely lost. And I always think about that, you know. So updating the systems, because, see, it worked. All the systems worked for generalizing. So after the Second World War, or, you know, when you start to actually become system relevant, you know, even if, you know, and when you become system relevant, it's good to do the basic thing of, you know, sex, you know, sexuality, gender and race. Mm-hmm. That's enough, you know, to then. But when the people have evolved since then, and there was nothing wrong with the systems then, because we wouldn't have the progress that we have, the system, you know, that you and I can talk, for example. We mm-hmm. wouldn't have that if it wasn't for that. So it's not like blaming or finger pointing. It's just taking a responsibility for humanity, not for systems, and say we need to update the systems for the growth that humans have done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because most people, and I'm not for destroying system or exchanging system or revolutionizing or doing wars. That is the old, outdated system relevance. You know, you just couldn't handle a country, or just start a war and then we'll reset and we'll see what's going on. And if we lose the war, the leaders have nothing to lose. They just move to a different country. We mm-hmm. have all the money, they move to a different country. And so we have to update systems, and we also have to see that systems are very necessary, especially the more we develop, the more we need the system. Now, when we find ourselves, so I'm extremely neurodiverse, I can't read. And so I can read, but just a little blurb. I wrote 6 books, and I use the computer to read it back to me. And I listen if that sounds good. So when we become conscious of all these things, we need systems that are updated, not systems that are 200 years old. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we become more conscious and say, oh, when this is, we pollute something. Oh, so we have to do something to not pollute it, and not just keep polluting and then say, okay, as long as it makes money, we just pollute. That doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is something we also mentioned at the beginning, because I remember saying that you'll find that most people are stuck in the same system for generations. They forget to do that update, where your ideal thinking that was ideal back then is not really acceptable in the present times, because you'll find that, let's take, for example, our educational system, which we tend to mention a lot. When you go all the way back to the beginning with the educational system, you'll find that some parts of the world, education was meant for the rich and not for the poor, but that changed. You find that education was not meant for females, where no female was allowed in school, and then that changed. And then education was not meant for people of color, and then that changed. So if we can have a change in something that is as wide as education, why not have change and that system update in other things in life where we find it quote unquote minute? Because you find that even ways of thinking, people use the excuse of, it's been like that for generations. If you use that excuse,
It's
you're not going crazy. Anywhere. We're not going anywhere as a society. Everybody else is upgrading, and then there's you, still in the old system.
Exactly. And Phyllis, I'm so thankful that you say that and that you're vulnerable to say that, because I'm a white male, you know, and I would have not thought, I knew it was outdated. That's why I say one of one, because that even overreaches the woman and race, because everybody's one of one. But it was so beautiful that you just said that, because yes, it is so old. I mean, that's so old. It's beyond wealth, race, sexuality. It's completely crazy. And it's not adapted to that, you know? When it was just for guys that were rich, you don't have to think about what a woman goes through or what, you know? And even men, we know now men are not only straight, they're gay, they might be gay, they might be trans, they might be whatever. And we just exclude all that stuff. And just, let's just do as long as we can milk the cow, right? As long as the money milk is coming. We just don't take. And so the system also protects itself. The system, because the system lives not like you and I of spirit, of the energy that we can actually generate between us. It depends on money. You know, the soul doesn't need money. The soul needs to dance with another human. It needs to be creative. It needs to be human-centric. I think the soul is the thing that lets us be human-centric, to express our uniqueness, our one-of-oneness into this world with romance, with art, with our, you know, creativity, and with enjoying the earth. You walk... If a soulful person can walk in the woods and is so fulfilled and feels so rich, like even the richest people cannot feel like that.
And people need to remember that it always, in the world of dance, people say it always takes two to tango. Because when you bring that statement onto this topic, you realize that in order for you to be that one-on-one person, that individual that everybody sees as an individual, you need another person to showcase who you are, because you can know a difference between somebody and somebody else by just saying, do you know a Michael? There are a lot of Michaels around the world, but who is Michael McGrush? And that is why whenever I remember the first time, that was the first question I asked you, who is Michael McGrush? I want you to tell me who you are as an individual. I don't want you to identify yourself with the region. I don't want you to identify with the people around you. I want you to identify yourself as you, because that separates you from another different Michael entirely. And that's the beauty of life. We all need each other to showcase our individuality, because without the other person, how else would you showcase who you are? Without the other person to see what you are, without the other person to tell you, to tell who Michael is, without the other person to witness who Michael is, you know? We need each other, because you find that there's this thing that has been going around for, I don't know if you've seen it, it's been going around for, I think, 2 years now, where there's this Sigma male campaign going on, and it really sets me off, because yeah, that's a concept that could have worked in the 50s, even in the 60s, or even in the 40s.
200 years ago,
but when you bring it onto the 21st century, in this current year, in this decade, that it's a choking system, you know? It's something that steps on toes rather than building other people, because you find that people are like, oh, you need to become a Sigma male, there's no female that has to be above you, you are the controlling, you have to go back to being controlling males. Why would you use that as a statement of life? They're literally stepping out of everything. One, they're generalizing everything, because they're now generalizing themselves as Sigma males. They're putting that title on their heads, we are Sigma males. Two, they are going back to the old system, where they're embracing more of system relevance rather than realizing, oh, wait, we have free will, so human-centric life it is. They literally throw out that the window, and then they now come here, try to shove it down your throat. Because if you don't do that, you're the weak male. You're the wrong male. You're the one wrong in the times because you're going against what they want. And this is a clear example of people who would rather stick to a system that benefits them alone and as a group than singling themselves out and moving on with life as an individual that does not go around in system. That's something that's clear and it's out there.
And it's all a generalization. We generalize, you know. If I'm a woman, and I would say, hey, Phyllis, you know, we woman, we always generalize, you know, we woman, because we need safety in a tribe. And so they basically create their own tribe, but in the tribe, they're selling themselves out. They don't help the tribe and don't help themselves and don't help the people that they are affecting. So basically, they say, that's why the generalization always hurts all. It never, so with, like you said with Michael, right? Oh, he's like all Michaels. Oh, he's Phyllis, she's Phyllis. Hey, she's all like all Phyllis. No, Phyllis is 23 and I'm 65. And I wonder if you guys pick that up when we talk, you know?
I don't think they do.
And no, and that shows you even age is system relevant. Because I talk to the young, I talk to kids, I never talk down to them. And then I talk to old people, I never talk down to them either or up to them. You're always horizontal. We are, everybody's one of one. That's why there can't be a vertical. I cannot be better than you. Whatever, I can try every, you know where I can be better? I can fix a motor better than you, a systems thing. But you can be learning and become a better motor fixer than I am. In the system, that's system relevant stuff. But I cannot be better than you. I can be the president of Africa, but I cannot be better than you. That's just my title, my system title. It's, you know, and the moment the next president is the old president, who cares? You know, the system changes. Like if you're a superstar today, and there's the next superstar come, you're gone. Nobody cares about you. It's in systems you're exchangeable because everybody's like a cog in the wheel. You know, so spoke in the wheel. I mean, yeah, cog in the wheel. Spoke. I'm a nerd, obviously. I don't know. So you're like a cog, basically. Yeah, like you're not the, you're not your one of one, that you're supposed to be. And the stuff is when people become when you get fed by the system, when you're a part of system relevance, you and you, let's say you are a top manager in a company, you never want to give that up, even though the company ultimately exchanges you, but you never want to give it up. You want to hold on as long as possible. And what happens when you do this, you come disconnected because you see that with politicians, when politicians have a very long period when they get reelected or stay in power very long, they lose the because you know once you're up there in the spotlight, the system uses you, and then it you're surrounded by five people that you trust or one person, and you're disconnected from the people. You don't drive a bus anymore. You don't go on the streets anymore. You know, you just have an appearance where everything is clean, and then you walk on the street. So all that stuff is, even if you're Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, they people are segregated, and they because they're long. Bill Gates, they're long in their being a superstar. And when you're that long, you miss and you miss the connection to humans, because you think. You still think humans are when you remember when you were not rich. But so much happens. I mean, I see it, you know? And I see it that humans change so much and they're not becoming worse, or they just become more disturbed and you know, system disturbed. Because 80% of our problems is from systems. 80% of human problems is from systems, and 20 we make. But basically, we can't stay too long in a job. We can't stay too long on top. Otherwise, we disconnect from humanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can stay on the top and do another job, but still, you're not going to go down in it anymore. So, because you're a superstar and then you become another superstar. Mm-hmm. I love those people that literally do their job and then just leave. I love that. You know, they just do that 2 years of power or 4 years of power and then just leave and say, thank you. Washington did this in America, right? He said they wanted to crown him as a king because everybody was so happy about him. Mm-hmm. And he says, no, I created democracy that we don't do this, that we don't keep a leader on. And today, money makes you an endless leader. It's not politics. Money makes you the endless leader. And people mm-hmm. don't give up the money, but just give up your, but they can't. They want to be relevant. And because they don't feel it from others like you and me, you know, we feel mm-hmm. each other's, we feel the dance, right? The foxtrot. We feel the dance. Mm-hmm. But they don't feel the dance. So they need to invent crazy stuff or do crazy stuff to people or start wars just to, because they're so lost. And have that extreme fear and panic to lose what they have. Because mm-hmm. they know already they're disconnected from humans. Now, they're not. You can't disconnect from nature. When you disconnect, you're not existing anymore. But mm-hmm. but you're not feeling, you're feeling lonely, you're feeling segregated.
Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned before, ladies and gentlemen, we need that delicate balance between the two because systems are hard to get rid of, right, Michael? You can't just eliminate every single system around the world because some systems are good, some systems are relevant. We need them to function as well. But we need to also remember that we are individuals. And the fact that we forget that part is what enables the system to become something wrong. So what practices or what mindsets can help us prioritize our human-centric values in a system-driven world? And how do these choices impact our overall sense of fulfillment and purpose in our day-to-day lives?
Super. So number one is awareness. Awareness, there's nothing more powerful than awareness. Mm-hmm. And that, what the system calls mindset. It's basically awareness, because mindset in system relevance, just to show you, this is really great because you used that and you reminded me, which was great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Because mindset is a mindset in car collecting, a mindset in woman of color, a mindset in this person or this system relevant thing, advertising, a mindset in leadership. That's system relevant awareness. And they want, and it's limited because awareness doesn't have any like humans don't have any. There's no borders. You are limitless. If you find your essence, you can just grow and grow and grow and be more aware and be like a light tower. Mm-hmm. So when the mindset, the awareness. And did we talk about the hospitals before with the smoking in the hospitals? Did we talk in the last episode on that? Because that's my example for this. Mm-hmm. So when people in hospitals smoked, that was totally okay. The doctors made advertising, the most cigarettes smoked by doctors, as it must be good. Mm-hmm. And they gave women cigarettes every day, especially the ones that are pregnant, so that they're not hysterical, which is the old chauvinistic psychology that deemed women as hysterical because they have emotions. Mm-hmm. So that got brought into the 50s and gave human get this woman, the pregnant, gave him cigarettes. So they were total cigarettes. Only mm-hmm. they were so perplexed, and the awareness of humans got so smart, they said, it can't be good. And all of a sudden, there come some tests out there, and I said, nobody is for that. And there was no revolution. There was no killing the system. All they did was the doctors stopped promoting cigarettes. and the people got to say, okay, hey, maintenance guy, unscrew the boss of the hospitals, maintenance guy, unscrew the ashtrays and put in the holes where the ashtrays were, put a non-smoking sign. So it looks like it's supposed to be there. And that's what I'm saying. So when people listen to our talks, you know, I'm not telling you what to do. I would never tell you what to do. Just see how that fits in you, how that dance that Phyllis and I do fits to you. And if that fits to you, then do your interpretation of how you live your life. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do anything. You just have to, by being aware, we change everything. And you cannot force awareness. Because if I'm a gladiator, I'm aware I could die, right? So I'm going into a fight. But do I want to be a gladiator, or do I want to be just a person that is just grabbed from the street and put in this and that doesn't even know what that is, that environment? And then another guy comes and stabs him. No, you know, there's a difference of knowing what can happen and being aware that when you smoke, you get cancer or it's not healthy for you. When you know drinking bad water is not good for you, when you know breathing bad air is not good for you, you will do everything to do that versus going and say, oh, we got to pay more taxes for climate change because we couldn't reach the goal of CO2. Mm-hmm. It's just another out of tax. No, it's not about climate change. It's about clean water, clean air, clean food. That's it, period. And we all have to take that and say, no, I'm not going to support that. I'm not going to support food with a lot of chemicals in it. You know, I'm not doing that.
And it's something that you normally say, because I think it's like your tagline for you, Michael. Yeah. You normally say that once you're aware, you cannot go back. And it's like me when I normally say voicing the voiceless, where this podcast, what I'm supposed to do, because when you look at our world, our system-driven world, it has given me my mindset in life already from the moment you're born, because I am the trifecta. I'm part of the trifecta. I'm young, I'm a female, and a person of color. I'm part of the trifecta already the moment I was born. And you realize that there are already rules in the system that you have to go by, where if you're a person of color, you know that there are some hardships who go automatically because of the system driven world. When you are female, you know that there are hardships you cannot avoid. They've been there because of this system driven world. And because you're young, it's even worse. But when you look at the human centric part of me, the human centric value of me, like your words said, I chose to fish out my essence, to fish out my purpose, fish out my limelight, where I decided, who do I want to be? What do I want to become? What do I want to be remembered for? So it's what has been my purpose, what has driven me to every single thing that I do, because I'm aware that if I go to some place, people will look at me a certain way because I am a female and they'll expect me to act in a certain way. So if I'm assertive, or if I choose to make my own decisions, or if I'm decisive, they will say, oh, but that's not how females are supposed to react. Oh, females are supposed to be sweet. They're supposed to be submissive. They're supposed to be abiding. But that's not who I am, Michael. If I see a child,
you're just normal, but you're not dominating. You're not doing the reverse. You're not saying, I need to control other people. You don't say that either. Exactly. So you are just being a one-on-one that dances with other humans, but the dance, you get most aware. There's no book you can read if you don't dance with the people, because it opens their perspective and my perspective. Just we have an example right here. Mm-hmm. By talking to each other, you open me up like, which I would say, oh, wow, I believe that. But now with Phyllis, and the same is with you, because what the art, what you are, because you created something, and this is like your art, the podcast, right? You created that, you change it, you look at the logos different, you do this different, and you express that. Now they can say, Phyllis, I hate your podcast, or I love it, it's the greatest podcast ever. But no, the system can say that, because, you know, they like you today and tomorrow they'll hate you. But nobody can take away that you created it. See, if I was somebody that has never created anything, and I was that's why I can connect with that, because I was called the stupid guy. I was with 12 years, I was with 10 year olds. I couldn't read, I stuttered. You know, my whole life, I could never fit into systems, my whole life. Everybody, systems, oh, sorry, we don't have anything for you. And then, you know, and now, because of the internet, because of the exchange of humanity, I found people, you know, the neurodiverse people with the octopus movement, and I found them, and they are all normal and actually more able to do white papers and discussion and create together collaboratively than any system relevant superstars. I mean, we have done dozens of white papers about AI, about this and that, and it was done in an hour or two. And they're all neurodiverse. At a test that was two points higher than a retarded person. Just did that, by the way. So I'm still not humanly normal. I'm almost like system relevance, I'm retarded, which that's why I'm saying, how can you take that seriously? Right?
Yeah. And you'll find some people, maybe they're listening to this and then they're like, oh, but maybe that concept doesn't work, Phyllis. It's a push and shove world where life gives you lemons, you have to make lemonade because it's how it's always been. But do you really have to make lemonades? You can make key lime pie with the same lemon. Exactly. In fact, you can throw back the said lemon. Lemons aren't even real. We made lemons. I came to realize that. So when the whole thing of when life gives you lemons is a lie. It's when humans give you lemons, so you can choose to chuck it back at the same human who gave you that lemon. Why didn't they give you an orange in the first place? Who gives you a lemon? That saying is very horrible. So you need to find that delicate balance, people, because you cannot outwit, you cannot beat the system, but you can try to find the balance within it, because the system, no matter how good it is, you'll realize that it's always flawed. There's that gap. There's that gap that is there. It's meant for you, where you will look and realize, oh, I need to be over there, and there's an opening here, so I can go through here to get to where I want to be. But on your way there, remember, the journey is always as important as the destination. Do not forget about the journey. So do not kick off anybody else who's trying to use the same path. Do not try to push off anybody you found in the same path. Because we said this in the beginning of the episode, most people try to beat the system by harming anybody else who's doing the same thing, because along the way you'll find other people who are trying to get to where you want to be as well. So there's no harm in helping this other person out, because I'll tell you a short story, Michael. When I was younger, like middle school, I think, I had a friend who English wasn't her first language, so I was the best in the class, so obviously I was assigned to have her as my tutee. So I tutored her for the entire semester, and I liked it. I liked helping the girl. I liked it. We became friends, and I tutored her, and in the end, she beat me in the exams. And
Beautiful.
Yeah, I tutored her so well that she beat me in the exam. And it's not like I wasn't reading or anything, but the shock that came after, I remember I went home and I told my mom, Susie beat me. She got higher points than I did. And I didn't know if I should, and as a young kid, I didn't know if I should feel proud or frustrated.
Proud that my friend, because of you.
Finally understanding the subject, or frustrated that she beat me.
Yeah, no, it's
not that anybody else beat, that she beat me.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is, if I am a good, if I can make your experience better, imagine what you gave that kid. The kid was a loser, right? Systemically, you're a loser. Like I was, now 52 years, I was a loser. So, and you didn't beat that kid. You didn't force her. You didn't say, oh, you horrible person, just learn harder, because mm-hmm. you're never going to be something. That's what we do in education, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore, but that was a long time that it was like that. And you actually helped the person find themselves, their one of oneness.
Mm-hmm.
That it is not system relevant. And when she has a little bit more time given with you tutoring her, she discovered that she's not a loser.
Mm-hmm.
You have given her a life, Phyllis.
Yeah, because in the end, Michael, I think she found her voice because she ended up writing beautiful essays as we grew up. She wrote beautiful, beautiful essays because it's she found her voice finally, a way to express whatever she had in her mind. And reading her essays, even my mom reading her essays, was always a thrill. For once, I enjoyed reading somebody else's material that wasn't my own, because it's like seeing the world through another person's lens. It's beautiful. It was a beautiful experience for me as a kid, but that singular moment, it scared me. That singular moment.
Scares you, but it doesn't.
Yeah, as I grew up, I realized, oh yeah, it was a great moment. I shouldn't have felt bad, but as a kid, you know, with a kid mindset.
Understand. Yeah. No, I understand that totally. No, you weren't aware. See, you say mindset. I always say aware. Because because you weren't aware of it, but now you're aware. And now I think what you did, this is like, you want to feel what God feels like. This is what God feels like.
Mm-hmm.
To make the people the best they can be. That it's not like martyring yourself and sacrificing yourself. You didn't sacrifice yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You just blew a little bit on the flame, so the flame, her soul and her spirit could bring the light. You didn't do any. If she's not willing to do it, she would never even think. So there was the willingness, and the universe showed you how powerful you can be, Phyllis. How powerful of human you are, not woman you are, a woman of color. You, the one woman you are, you gave yourself all these limitations to show you who you really are, the one of one.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is like you. You're not better than anybody, but you have found your one of oneness. And that's what counts.
Yeah, it's always magical, Michael, meeting people who are like that. Because I remember my agent who passed away sadly last year. He was the same way, because my agent obviously was older than me, 25 years older than me. But he always, I remember the first conversation we had, like an actual back and forth, listen and talk and listen type of conversation. He was telling us how sad he always feels when he's walking around the street. This is not even something he witnesses on social media, just something he goes by every day. He walks around the street and sees the same homeless man in the same corner seated, and people just pass him by. And you'll find that this person that just passed him by will walk right into a fast food chain restaurant, eat and buy extras, and walk out and go back home without taking a second glance at him. But do you know what my agent usually do? He used to, and he was a beautiful soul for this, he used to buy, even if it was lunch or whatever time it was, breakfast, lunch, dinner, he used to buy something for this person to eat, because he knew that this person was going to spend hours seated there on the floor, and nobody was going to look in his way. Nobody was even going to offer him a bottle of water. How much is a bottle of water in this economy? Not much, right, Michael? But nobody would do that. And he used to feel sad that people would do that constantly. So he used to look at us, me and the other, his other clients, and used to tell us that you need to remember that when you go home, you're going to eat. When you go home, you're going to have a place to stay. When you go home, you're going to have a warm shower and a nice place to stay. But this person, this random person you met, you might not even see them again, but you don't know where this person is going to go next. You don't know if this person is going to have a meal. You don't know if this person is going to have a place to stay. You don't know if this person is going to see a doctor when they're sick. You don't know if this person has a family or not. So take that moment, whatever you have, with you at that moment. Forget about everybody else. Forget about everybody else around you. Forget about what people might say. Just focus on this person. Give them the attention. Remind them that they're humans and they can be seen. And till this day, Michael, whenever I go past anybody, it's like I hear his voice saying the same thing to me. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing to meet a human being who thinks that way in this day and time.
And he was human-centric. That's what I'm saying. I didn't invent human centricity. I'm just saying, you know, we created all the systems. Systems without humans can be, irrelevant. Humans mm-hmm. without systems, we'll have a lot of problems. If we have no systems tomorrow, we have a lot of problems, but we'll have survived and we'll create new systems. And I always say, I wanted to say with this, you don't have to go and hug every person in the world.
Yeah. But
recognize, acknowledge the person, say hi. You don't have to, if you don't have money, don't pay somebody that you don't have money. You mm-hmm. say hi to him. You say hi to him or her. You not acknowledge that they're in your life, that moment, to open your perspective. And if you need to see a homeless person in that moment, that's why you see the homeless person in that moment. So acknowledge it and not say, I don't want to see it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see this. I don't want to ignore it. Yeah, I want to ignore it. No. And we have to say with system especially, because it's also the humans. It's always the humans. But because when you fight the systems, all the humans that are dependent on that system will fight you. Because mm-hmm. they can feed their kids from the system. They make money. They have a car. And if you start fighting a system, you're actually fighting other humans, and then humans and humans fight. So you never fight a system, you update a system, and you insist on updating systems. That cannot be anymore, not today. We cannot have war today anymore. War is too stupid and too dumb and too outdated, because anybody that wants to fight a war must say what is, because we humans pay for it with the taxes. Yeah, it's a tax money mm-hmm. that we pay war. It has to explain to us what is the function of killing other humans that I don't even know. I'm not saying somebody comes in and will hurt you, you defend yourself. Mm-hmm. But you tell me why you need to, and also it's never defending. Defending is the worst word for starting wars, because Russia said they defended themselves with Ukraine. That's it. We have to all clean water, clean air, clean food, no chemicals in there or nothing. And also system update. Those are the four things we must integrate to stand for. We need to upgrade the system systems mm-hmm. and not change them, not destroy them, not kill them, update them. Because then the people keep having jobs. More people will have jobs, because if we make them pretty, like the Moscow Metro, like the masters in Augusta, Georgia, we mm-hmm. can, the churches are all over the world. If we make our systems, our collective artworks, then even the artists will have jobs. So it's not taking jobs away. Update the system mm-hmm. and stop nickel and diming about them. System can have money, but not for a couple of guys, but for the systems. When we say we have so many billions to fix the system, I want to see it in the system. I don't want to see a couple of guys having a lot of money and everybody else is poor and the mm-hmm. systems are not updated. We are in the same boat, all of us. All of us. Nobody mm-hmm. can escape.
Yeah, so everybody, remember, even if the system is there, just go with the flow, update yourself, but don't forget your human-centric values as well, because once you forget them and the system takes over your day-to-day life, you're done for. You'll be like any other controlling person on this planet, where nothing else matters but where they are, the money they have, and how many people they have to control. That's all that matters to those people. Anybody, if you look closely, any person living a system relevant life to the fullest, this person believes in control. This person believes in that death grip hold on people who cannot help themselves. You know, it's, they forget that everybody is human. You're not powerful over any other person, because without the money you have, basically you have nothing. You go back to being zero. So please remember, even if you want to be a powerful tech company owner, even if you want to become a, I don't know, let's say a biologist, or maybe you want to become the next Elon Musk, please remember that your human-centric values matter as well. Do not forget your humanness.
Matter more, because the people like Elon Musk, they all have fear. They have panic to lose their position, because they're then not connected to humanity and don't have the luxury that they have. So they are totally, all leaders that I met, perhaps not everyone, I'm not saying every, I'm not generalizing, because that would be same, then what I would be system relevant. Mm-hmm. Not everyone, but most leaders have a fear to lose their luxury, because they don't know how to integrate to humanity again, to be normal with people, to live with people, dance with people, not just with the selected friends, but dance with everyone. And this is the power, superpower we discover with podcasting, that the world, we can dance with everyone. We don't say, oh, those Africans, oh, those Jews, oh, those Arabs. No, because, and this is the craziness today, Phyllis, that people now punish you for being born there. Mm-hmm. What has a Jew that lives anywhere, or an Arab, or a Russian, or the Ukrainian, they're living all over the world. What is their fault that they were born that way? And when the system says, and this shows you the power of the system, when the system says, okay, the Israelis were bad, or the Palestinians were bad, all of a sudden, oh, I know Phyllis, she's a Palestinian. Oh, I don't like her. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just we generalize them, and the generalization kills us, because Phyllis is not a Palestinian, and if she was, she's a human. She's not a she, she's a human first. Yeah, she is a female, but she's first a human. And I judge her only on her humanity first. Mm-hmm. You know? And then I say, yeah, I understand you're a woman. That's another thing. Yeah, I understand you are African. I understand that too. But it is secondary, thirdary. It's not important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so whatever, ladies and gentlemen, you should take from the first episode and this episode, if you don't grasp anything else, if you grasp something, it will be three things. Find the balance. Find the balance between the system relevance and human-centric life. That's the systemic living and the soulful living. Once you find the balance, quit generalizing. Please.
Yep.
Please quit generalizing. We're in an age where generalizing is in all shapes and forms wrong. And thirdly, do not forget your essence. Your essence makes you who you are as an individual. So do not forget it. Those are the three things I'd tell you personally to remember from these three episodes, because in a nutshell, it's basically what me and Michael have been talking about from the first episode onto this episode.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. And although we'll be ending this particular episode here, ladies and gentlemen, join us for part three of this series, where we will be talking about enoughness. This is a topic that was personally chosen by Michael himself, and we will be discussing basically how we are enough in this system relevant life that we lead on this planet. Because like we said, you cannot get rid of the system. So in the next episode, we will be discussing how we can be and how we are enough in this system run world. But until then, Michael, thank you so much for joining us again on Care Life Podcast.
And any question, anybody has questions, you know, We are here to, we either collect the question and make it a fourth episode answering the questions, or we do it in between. So whatever mm-hmm. you're not clear, I want you to be aware. I really want you to be aware so that your one-of-oneness can actually be the best it can. Mm-hmm. I want you to be the best you that you can be, not what the system that demands. You want you the best human that you can be.
Exactly. And if you have any questions or any comment in particular regarding this episode or the previous one, right there on Spotify, you'll find a question bar where I have literally asked, tell us or ask us a question about this episode. You can type out your question, you can type out your comment. And even if it's not now, even if you're listening to this particular episode in the future, it could be months ahead, it could even be a year from now when you're listening to this episode, don't worry, you can just leave your question there. It doesn't matter the time that you're listening to this episode, because as long as Michael and I are here, we can always come back to this topic and exactly. even something new and answer questions or even expand more on the topic itself. But until then, which is our next episode next time, you all stay safe, stay creative, stay curious, and I will see you guys next time for another episode here on Care Life Podcast. Bye!